Welcome to the Brew Drink Run podcast, brought to you by the only website that promotes brewing your own beer, consuming the best craft beers in the world, and then running off the calories, brewdrinkrun.com.
Welcome to episode... I can't even...
What was that?
I was trying to sound like our announcer there at the beginning of the episode. Welcome to episode 179 of the Brew, Drink, Run podcast. My name is Lee.
I'm Raymond.
If this is your first time joining us or your first time in a while, I hope you enjoy yourself. This is one of our mini episodes. On our mini episodes, we just drink a beer and we talk about a specific beer-related topic. Our big shows are the previous episode and next episode in your feed, where we drink two beers and talk about running and homebrewing, quite possibly. If you like what you hear, don't forget to rate and review the show on iTunes, on Stitcher, wherever you grab your podcast. Ratings and especially reviews help more people find out about the show. You can also tweet about us, post about us on Facebook or Instagram. If you do that, tag us at Brew Drink Run. So we know you're talking about us. This is our mini show. Our mini show is drinking one beer, and we're drinking local tonight, Raymond. What have we got?
That's right. We have a beer by Southbound Brewing Company here in Savannah, and it's called Shakedown Street. It is a dry-hopped tart saison ale, according to the label here, proudly brewed and packaged in Savannah, Georgia.
All right, so Southbound, that was a healthy open. That sounded good. Southbound's kind of major focus, or one of their major focuses that they try to work in with all their beer is music. They have a big music emphasis with their how they name their beers. They have a lot of performances at the brewery, do a lot of special tie-ins when artists come to town and perform. I don't know the background of Shakedown Street. Do you?
I don't. It does say, we can talk about the beer in just a little bit, but I don't know what the music reference is, and they usually have one. Are you?
Well, there's the song, what, Shakedown, the Tom Petty song? Isn't that a song? But I don't get the street. Or is that Breakdown? I don't know. I'm bad at this. That's a Grateful Dead song, everybody. Google. Thanks, Google. It's everybody who's screaming at their podcast listening device of choice right now with their angry little deadhead hands in the air. It's a Grateful Dead song. I didn't know. Whatever.
You didn't follow the Dead around?
You know, they weren't really my time, man. They weren't really my time. No. I tried to get into the Grateful Dead at some point in high school, I think, because right. I'm a guitar player and I kind of felt like I needed to.
Sure.
And did not. I think I bought Terrapin Station and did not care for it. And I remember the Touch of Grey music video where they were all the skeletons. That was great. I like that. That was good stuff. It combined my loves of puppetry and guitars.
And dead people.
And dead people, of course. Now, what about you? Were you a deadhead, Raymond?
I was not. I had a similar experience, listened to them a little bit in high school, didn't get into them. Knew a lot of people that did and went to their concerts, and I actually turned down an opportunity to go to one of their shows, and I've kind of regretted it ever since, because I think it's probably, I didn't realize it at the time, but understand now that it was an experience in itself just to go. It wasn't, you could go for the music, but
stay for the acid.
Stay,
gotcha.
Or whatever.
I gotcha. So now that we know the provenance of the name, it might be a good time to talk about the can art, because I have a feeling they're going to tie a little bit closer together now.
Yes. So that does make a little more sense. A lot of detail in this can. Shows a street lined with your typical kind of VW style buses, lots of people partying in the street, lots of hula hoops and bell bottoms and that sort of thing, guitars. So yeah, it looks like a hippie party.
Yeah, it's a nice bright can. It's got some of the same branding elements that Southbound carries over into the other product. I think the top ring they use on a lot of their cans. On the side there, you've got their logo nice, big, and bright. It's fun. I think it stands out. It would stand out really well on a shelf. I think that it'd be pretty easy to identify this beer and what it was. We've also poured it into glasses. What does Shakedown Street look like in a glass?
Well, it's a nice yellow Saison. You might expect it to look this way, kind of cloudy. Big, fluffy head that actually I had to stop my pour and let it settle for a minute and then re-pour it. But it's still got a big, nice, fluffy head to it. But cloudy, yellow Saison.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it is. I went ahead and I poured most of mine pretty fast, so I do have a lot of pillow top there to wind down a little bit. But it looks great. It looks like you would expect for the style. Let's talk about aroma. Mm-hmm. It's nice and bright and funky. It's got that farmhouse kind of a hay must bit, but it also has a little bit of lemon or some high note to it as well.
In there.
Yeah, so it's definitely pleasing, definitely on tap for the style. See what I did there? And Raymond's taking a sip. I'm going to do the same. What did you get on that first sip, Raymond?
Well, it's billed as a tart Saison, and that tart aspect really kind of comes forward. A little bit of bitterness, too, I think, from the dry hopping. But you do get that citrusy kind of flavor in there. So the fruity aspect of the nose continues into the beer, the taste. But it does have that kind of funky barnyard quality that we always expect in a good Saison.
With that tartness, with that little bit of what you might expect to see in some sours. On the can, it does say that this was created with lactobacillus, hops, and music.
Yep.
There you go. There's that music again. And I know that Southbound's head brewer, Smith Matthews, is really big on sours, really big on introducing different yeast strains to see what happens with the beer. Really likes both the unpredictability of it and I think just kind of the science behind it. He's very drawn to that sort of thing. So it's nice to see them incorporating his love for that into a beer that's kind of maybe a little bit unexpected. I mean, it's not like he's doing this into a pale ale or anything, but it's not a specifically branded sour beer. It's a Saison. It's something you can pick up, you know, most of the year and get a real thirst quench from. But when you introduce the lacto, when you have that tartness, that punch to it, it definitely puts the beer in a different place and makes it, I mean, maybe a little bit more challenging, but also complicated in a certain kind of way as well. What do you think about that? Is that something that's a good fit here?
Oh, I definitely think so. And I was just thinking about what you were saying about his brewing and his interest in tart beers or sours. It's the choice to not put sour on here has got to be intentional. Because they do market several sour beers, so they're definitely showing a difference between or recognizing a difference between just sour and utilizing some of these funkier strains.
Yeah, definitely. And it is much more funky than sour. Mm-hmm. I think that's a really important thing to say. When we're talking about the lacto here, it's not a sour beer. It heightens that funkiness. It heightens that by adding that little bit of an extra kick.
Yep.
But I could see how someone who was picking this up thinking it would be like a Hennepin or, you know, like a traditional Saison, being surprised and maybe a little taken aback, especially if that's something that you haven't had the chance to do before or to try before. So I'm going to read a little bit more off the can here. So this is the description on the back of the can. Something shaken with Shakedown Street, Southbound's fresh new take on a French Saison. This light kettle-soured farmhouse ale is infused with a hefty dose of Southern Cross, lending this brew a heady aroma of citrus and pine. So I think that that definitely comes across, the citrus and the pine from the Southern Cross hops. And it's a kettle soured. Now, I don't know. Have we talked about kettle souring on the show before?
I don't think so. Or if we did, it was not a whole lot of information there.
Yeah. Well, kettle souring, I'm not an expert on it. I mean, it's something that a lot of, you know, like homebrewers are starting to be able to do because the resources are just different for kettle sours than doing a traditional souring process. You can go to newschoolbeer.com. You can read a nice overview of kettle souring there. How precise you can be with it. I mean, I think it all comes with how precise can you be with any of your brewing. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that when you do introduce bacteria or, you know, these yeasts to the beer and to the process, you're always going to have a different kind of experience for it, for sure. So that's an interesting little rundown about how it works and how to do it. And so you could also call it sour mashing. Some people do that experience as well. So it's probably more than we want to get into here on this show. And especially being that we haven't done it before, I think that's also kind of hard. I can't speak to it from experience. But one thing that I have done is dry hop.
Sure.
So dry hopping is something that this beer takes advantage of. And it's something that I've had the chance to do as well. Now, have you dry hopped any of your home brews?
Thinking back, I don't think I have. I don't think I have.
Well, dry hopping, the process that it refers to is when you add hops to the fermenter after after the fermentation has started, or after it's even finished. Right. And so what you're doing there, instead of just adding hops to your boil, to your initial brew day, you add these additional hops mainly for the aroma purpose, because it's not being cooked down, not being cooked out. You're really getting the aromatic properties of the hops that hang around. And I think this beer really benefits from that dry hopping. I think a lot of breweries who do it are doing it to beers that are already super hop forward, that are to IPAs or pale ales, that the hops already shine. But with this beer that's a little bit more complicated to the yeast and to the bacteria, that the dry hopping is another element to make this beer just a little bit more special.
Do you know anything about this hop? Because they're very specific about it. And it's mentioned several times on the can, Southern Cross. I don't know that I've even heard of it. So I'm wondering if that's something that's maybe not as available for on the small scale as it is to breweries.
I have definitely seen it before, and I'm doing a quick look up here. It's one of those aroma hops, spice, pine, citrus. And I think it also is it's alpha acid of 11 to 14%. So alpha also can be used for bittering for sure as well. But
And it's the only hops that's mentioned. So they were obviously brewed this and then they dry hopped it with the same.
Yeah.
That's my take here.
Mm-hmm. It's a New Zealand hop, but it looks like you can pick it up. Homebrewers can pick it up without too much trouble.
Okay.
And yeah, a lot of people talk about using this specifically for dry hopping. So it's got a good reputation there as well.
I just noticed in the fine print, the original illustration is by a SCAD graduate, so they're staying local with their art.
Is that Becca? Or
Becca Butts, yeah.
Becca does most of their illustration.
Okay.
So she's kind of their go-to person for their label art and a lot of their graphics and branding. So, and she's been with them since the beginning. I think she did the original designs, too, for their original line of beers. And they bring in different people, I think, for a couple of the other labels, but I think Becca really does the kind of core line beers. And maybe once in a while they'll bring in somebody else, but it's more common than not, I think, to see Becca's Butts' name on these labels. So good for her. It's always nice to give a shout out to the artist. I know you like doing that.
Yeah, sure.
If the brewery's going to take the time to recognize them, then I guess we should too.
Absolutely. They never ask me to do their artwork, though.
Oh boy, this is happening now. I'd love to hear from other homebrewers who listen to the show who have had positive experiences with either kettle souring or with dry hopping. Dry hopping is something that I've had the chance to do several times, and I really think that it does add a lot when you have the right combination. There were a couple of experimental hops that were aroma hops that I used recently on a homebrew that was nice to have that little extra punch from. And it's really, other than the expense of the extra hops, it's doesn't add a lot of stress to your, it doesn't add any stress to your brew day. It doesn't really add that much time, depending on, you know, how strict you want to be with the amount of time you keep in your fermenter, if you're doing a primary and a secondary and, you know, exactly what you want to do there. So it may add a little bit more, or even shorten it if you're one of those people who likes to just let it sit forever. Well, you're not going to love it if you just let the hops sit forever.
Now, are you relying on the alcohol to do your sanitizing, or do you like soak the hops in Sani before you throw them in?
I'm trying to remember. I'm pretty sure I just threw them in. Yeah, I don't think I sanitized them at that point. I think I just threw them in.
Okay. But, well, hops are there for the preservative aspect anyway, so.
Right.
Okay.
But, you know, it doesn't mean that you should do that. Trust me, it does not mean that you should do that. It means that at that point, I'm not even thinking about sterilizing anything. I've already made the beer. I spent a whole day waist deep in sanitizing solution, or I don't need to think about it again for the dry hop. So I don't think so, although you probably should. I mean, it's not like it's going to hurt anything to give it a quick toss or a quick spray with the sanding. I mean, you know, it wouldn't be introducing that much of it into your, maybe you can't taste it anyway.
Now, are you using, did you use like leaf hops or are they pellets?
I've done both. Okay. I've done both. I always like the look of the whole cone hops.
Oh, they're so pretty.
Yeah. And it makes you feel like you're really doing something when you see them in there. And the pellets just look like rabbit food.
Yeah, they do.
Or whatever. And that's always kind of gross. So I've never, I don't like the pellets. They're a necessity. I mean, if you brew I do so rarely, I've got a couple of packs in the freezer right now, and it's nice that I can just do that and pull them out whenever I'm ready to use them. But, you know, they don't look appetizing. You know, whole cone, it's kind of like you got little mini Brussels sprouts in there floating around. Depending on if you like Brussels sprouts, that may or may not be a good thing. But I don't know. I'm a big fan of doing that. So, so I'd love to hear from our listeners if you are a dry hopping fanatic, or especially if you've done kettle souring at home. I think that would be interesting to hear from someone who has actually done that on a home system. Let us know by leaving a comment on this post for this episode on Facebook or on our website, and we will come back and let you know what we hear from folks. This is our mini episode, so mini episodes we are just talking about one beer, but I kind of feel like since it's fresh in his memory, I want to talk to Raymond real quick, who just did a little bit of a beer vacation, and we're missing Keith tonight, so this will let him catch up too. So tell us about your recent vacation and the breweries you were able to hit up.
My e-vacation. So here in Savannah, we had a little run-in with Hurricane Irma. In my case, didn't do much, but, speaking with other people did, you know, we had a lot of damage. but after our experiences with Hurricane Matthew, we hightailed it out of Savannah as soon as we, heard that Irma might be headed our way, and went up north to my wife's family in Roanoke, Virginia. And her father was kind enough to take me driving around, and we hit all the local brewery, or some of the local breweries, in particular two of the new ones. Roanoke's become, I think they want to compete with Asheville. They've been doing their best to bring in some of the West Coast breweries that are starting to look for East Coast spaces. And scored two of them. One of them is, tell me again. Why did I forget it again?
Deschutes?
Not Deschutes. Well, Deschutes is one of them. that one I can remember. It's the other one.
I'm not going to tell you now because this is too fun.
All right, so I'm going to go back to talking about Deschutes, which is
Ballast Point. Ballast Point is the other one you're thinking of, yes.
All right, so let's talk about Ballast Point, because they are a little outside of Roanoke, just a little north of Roanoke. and have a gorgeous, gorgeous space up on top of the hill.
That's that Constellations brand money working.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. they bought some nice property up there, right off of a trail that leads to the Appalachian Trail. So you cool. can start your excursion on the AT from Ballast Point.
Or take a well-needed diversion, I would guess, too. If you're through hiking, you're
exactly.
Like, I need a beer.
And I saw some people who might have been doing exactly that. But gorgeous location up on a hill, fantastic building, very rustic, modern but rustic use of wood, definitely look like reclaimed wood. But big glass windows around the tasting room, and some outdoor seating so you could look out over the mountains and everything. And I don't know what the brewery looked like though, because we were there to drink.
nice.
And eat some food. They had a great food. And then the other location that we went to was Deschutes, which only at this point has a tasting room, which is right downtown. And they have, I don't know, they had like 20 taps of different things that you could try, including a collaboration with every other local brewery in Roanoke. Cool. They got like six brewers together and did a collaboration, which I can't imagine that the logistics behind that, but, it was there. But Deschutes is in process. They are building their brewery, and it's going to be another year and a half, 2 years before it's actually finished.
So the tasting room is from beers on the West Coast, or beers they had brewed in other local locations. Like you said, the collabs, I guess, were brewed at the other local breweries.
Locally. Yeah, but I think all the other ones come from the West Coast.
Wow. All right.
Yeah, but they have now started distributing to Virginia ahead of the brewery. And I talked to them. They are slowly moving into North Carolina, a couple of spots there, but they definitely intend to come our way after the brewery opens.
As well, they should.
Yeah, we may see some Deschutes here in not too long from now.
That would be wonderful. I'm a big fan of their stuff, so that
Same
would
here.
Be fabulous.
Had a lot of, I think I had 6 or 7 beers at the tasting room and just samples.
What
a
lush.
It was fun. I didn't have to drive.
Don't anybody tell you that Raymond can't hold his beer, folks.
Oh, we're still going to do this?
Yeah.
We're going back in time. Keith's spreadsheet. Let's do this.
I always love that theme is probably about 4 seconds too long. It's not much. It's not like way too long, but I feel like it's about 4 seconds too long. But I love that. Whoop, whoop,
yeah,
like I have to wait for that to happen. I can't cut it short. This is the part of our mini episode where we turn to Keith's epic spreadsheet of thousands of beers that Keith has reviewed. I'm going to read a description of one of the beers, and we are going to see if Raymond can guess what beer it is based on the description. For today's example, I'm going to leave out one keyword. I'm going to leave out, there's going to be a blank here, but otherwise I'm going to read it all out because that would be too much of a giveaway. Okay. So here we go. This is a Saison farmhouse ale. Okay. Based on blank, this version is dry hopped, then bottle conditioned with various yeasts, obviously including Brettanomyces. Spot on bright carbonation. The malt is semi-sweet with a bready cracker flavor. I was expecting a bit more given the name, but the Brett yeast is adding a very mild funkiness. A pleasant citrus note appears as this warms up a bit. An easy-to-drink Saison that I will look forward to drinking each year as long as it is being brewed. 4 out of 5, A-.
Well, it sounds delicious. There's a couple of good clues in there. They brewed each year, so that makes it a seasonal, which makes sense, Saison. And it's got Brett in the title, probably, or in the name.
I like how you're working.
But that's about as far as I've worked.
I think you're doing great so far. I think you should keep going down this track.
So, but all right. And so it's based on another one. It's another beer. So
there's a base beer that they then bottle condition with.
Okay. So I'm going to all of the breweries that I know that do this regularly.
All right. Brewery number one. Let's go alphabetical order.
Allagash.
No.
Okay. So then I'm thinking, Hennepin was the first thing that came to mind, but that doesn't fit.
It is not Omegang.
I don't know.
So you did an A brewery. You did Allagash. Let's go through the ABCs. Pick a B brewery.
Ballast Point.
Nope. Pick another B brewery. Pick a B brewery that makes saisons.
Oh, see, I
that may have been.
This is too much pressure at this point.
All right. Let's do geography. Midwest.
Midwest. Midwest starts with a B.
They wouldn't sponsor your art thing. They wouldn't give you any free beer for your conference. They wouldn't return your emails.
Okay. God, what's the name?
You've already shut them out. Kansas City
Kansas
Brewery.
Kansas City, I know. It's I had plenty of their beer when I was in Kansas City. Didn't get to go to the brewery though.
The base beer is Tank 7.
Boulevard's Tank 7. I don't know the beer name though.
Saison Brett.
Okay.
Saison Brett. It's a nice large format bottle from them. They have that kind of funky smokestacky looking label on it.
Yeah.
I guess it's a rotating offering. I haven't seen it recently, but I was seeing it a lot there for a while. But it doesn't mean just because I haven't seen it that it's not still being put out. Because chances are that it is. And I just haven't been to the bottle shop as often as I should. But that's all right. Final thoughts on the Shakedown Street.
You know, this is actually a beer that we keep in the refrigerator pretty regularly these days. It's something that's complex enough to keep me interested and tart enough that my wife likes it. So we keep it around. It's a good beer. It's very enjoyable. 5% ABV. It's easy to drink. And I don't know. It's good. I don't want to say blonde beer, but it is. It's good.
Yeah, but it's not in the same class as I would put of like a cream ale or anything like that. But it's you totally could drink on this after a long hot day or a spring day or a fall day. It's just kind of it's got enough going on that I think that it's really interesting. I really like how it continues to develop in the glass. I like it once some of the effervescence fizzes out of it. And the tartness kind of increases to get maybe a little bit of kind of darker fruit, like cherry. And there's some other little notes that kind of come out in it, too, as that develops. So cheers to Smith and everybody at Southbound. This is a great local pickup for us Savannians. And I'm sure it's available throughout Southbound's distribution area. So if you're able to get that, pick it up. You probably like it. We like it.
Yeah.
If you like this podcast, don't forget to rate us and review us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you grab your podcast. Those ratings and reviews are great. If you want to learn more about us and Brew Drink Run, you can go to brewdrinkrun.com. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook at Brew Drink Run. We want to hear from you. We want to hear about your kettle souring. We want to hear about your dry hopping. You can email us at team@brewdrinkrun.com. Let us know about your home brewing, your running training, or your favorite place to grab a beer. You can also call us at 781-76-DRINK, and you might hear your lovely voice right here on this podcast. Go over to our website, pick up our t-shirts, our technical running shirts, click on the store link. Our theme music is provided by our friends, The Morning Lights. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you at the Dead Show, bro. Is that something that... No. Dude. Cheers.
Cheers.
Let's do that again.
Okay, sorry.
God. Yeah.